Hello friends, welcome back to the Bread for the Journey podcast series. This is the Reverend Kim Mendoza, pastoral resident here at First Presbyterian Church in Libertyville. For the second episode of this series, I am so excited to introduce Dave and Kristen Marsden to talk more about their bread for their journeys. Kristen and Dave have been longtime members and leaders in the congregation, and if you have ever volunteered Wednesday nights with pads or on a Saturday morning at the mobile food pantry, you probably have run into them. They are dedicated, passionate, and full of love for their community here at church and in Lake County. So without further ado, let's welcome Dave and Kristen Marsden.
Okay, well, thank you guys for meeting with me this morning. I won't take too much of your time, but can we start off? So this is for the Bread for the Journey podcast series, part of the stewardship campaign, and we're hoping to tell our stories or y'all's stories to help us remember how this church has been bread for us, and also reflect on the season of Lent and kind of encourage a sense of gratitude, reflection, other spiritual practices to help us kind of be in this wilderness season. So we're actually about halfway in right now. This is week three. So I want to start, if we could start, could you describe in one word how this Lenten season has been for you guys, starting like Ash Sunday?
One word, I would say unsettled.
Unsettled. Wow. Okay. Do you want to say a little bit more about that, Kristen?
You said one word.
I know.
You know, I think what's going on in the world makes it very hard to, I'm much too engaged and aware of what's going on in our country. And, that just clouds everything.
Yes. We are anticipating a lot for this year. And this is only February or March now.
Right. Right. Yeah. And so that's where unsettled comes from. It's hard to find peace and harmony and when it feels like the world is ending.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Thank you, Kristen. Dave, do you have one word or a few?
Well, I guess I kind of come back to grateful, I guess, in my world. It's kind of the other end of it. While certainly there's a lot going on that can cause us concern and what the uncertainty of the times we're in, but I guess I always try to end myself in a place where I'm just grateful for what we have and what we can do. So I'm just, you know, and still being in a physical one place where I can do those things. So I guess trying to end it grateful, I guess hopefully is a good thing from a trying to put it in the best perspective we can with the things we can't control.
Wow. What a good balance in one household. Both unsettled and grateful. And we can have both. And it's good to have both. So you guys are kind of illustrating this, the beauty of community. I mean, I know you guys are married, and this is kind of what maybe a church is like. There's so many feelings or so many different places where we're at during a season of Lent and just in general. So what a great illustration to start us off. So on that same, you know, thinking about the church, could y'all tell us a little bit about how you came to First Pres? Are you from Illinois? How did y'all find First Pres?
No. Dave, do you want to answer or would you like me to?
You start, I guess, you know, it's kind of us, you know.
We moved to Libertyville 1997 when we got married. It was halfway in between our jobs. I was working in Milwaukee and Dave was at O'Hare. And we stumbled on it. And I was born and raised in a church very much like First Pres, almost identical, really. And Dave, having grown up in the Church of England, didn't have any, you know, we were just looking for a place, a church home. And okay. and stumbled. I'm not sure we even did a whole lot of church shopping. We went to First Pres and I was like, well, this feels comfortable. Let's join here. And that was That's about how much thought we put in anything. But it
Okay.
just has felt, it felt like home from the beginning.
Wow. Okay. Dave, did you want to add a little bit more?
No, that's really it. We really got very fortunate in finding the ideal community to live in. We really knew very little about Libertyville, except geographically it was in the right place. And I kind of set one parameter that I just didn't want to be able to see the Great America roller coaster from our home. And Libertyville was far enough away where we weren't looking at it. And again, First Pres was kind of, I think, probably the first church we came to. And we were just engrossed by the people and the, you know, really the message we heard. And it obviously was a pretty good choice in both where we went to live and the church we joined, you know, almost 30 years ago now. So it's been wonderful.
Wow. Okay. So you both kind of said home, and it was kind of an instant feeling. Both felt that when you came to First Press. So, we'll keep that in mind. But as we continue this story forward, Richard Alexander this past Sunday talked about how Jesus uses the bread as a metaphor for the necessity of life. So as we think about y'all choosing First Pres as your church home, I'm wondering if you could talk more about how the bread, metaphorically, symbolically, that you found nourishing while attending at First Pres. So how long have you came 1997, so it's been about 27
years.
Wow. Okay, so in that 27 years, what has been nourishing for you?
I guess I can go first. I think to me, it's all about community, and it's the community of the people that we engage with at the church and throughout the, you know, kind of the local Lake County area that have been part of the different ministries that we've been supporting, and really the community of the people that we're trying to serve and just everything about it. I think you just build just an amazing community, whether it's being at a food pantry on a Saturday morning or being at the pet shelter overnight. It's the people you volunteer with, the people you serve. It's just amazing community. I mean, just even to see last night, we were at a charity event last night, and a couple of the volunteers that were part of my 5 a.m. shift back in our PADS days, I don't know they knew each other outside of that, but now we're friends because of the fact that they spent time together at a shelter on a Thursday morning, you know, making breakfast and cleaning up our site. And, you know, it kind of goes beyond anything we do in a given day to build and sustain community.
Wow, Dave. Okay, I want to, Kristen, well, if you want to interject, but since Dave did bring a talk about PADS, we can kind of hear more about PADS. Could one of y'all explain how PADS kind of came to First Pres? Was it there when you came, or was it started while you were attending? And how did that community flourish within the ministry?
It was there slightly before we started, and in fact, it was a moment for mission. Bobby Lancaster was one of the people that spearheaded PADS in our church and was a longtime member. I don't know if he recently passed, but Bobby was someone that had a lot of passion. And soon after we joined the church, I think he was up and did a moment for mission talking about PADS. And we were kind of wondering where we might get involved. And that kind of just resonated with us. And we went to, I think, just a volunteer training session soon after that, and then started volunteering. And I guess the rest is history.
Okay. Wow. I didn't know that it started with Bobby Lancaster. I hadn't heard his name.
Yeah.
So this is in
19. 19- Nancy Bloomer, I think, were the two that kind of were the ones that really started it within our church, probably, you know, about 30 years ago, I think.
Nancy Bloomer also recently passed, pretty recently, the last 2 years. And during COVID, when we were collecting items for PADS, and it would get delivered to our house during COVID. And in her final days on this earth, Nancy delivered, like, filled our dining room with items for PADS.
Oh my God.
She was literally on hospice care on her deathbed, ordering on Amazon, sending gifts for PADS. So
wow.
There's a lot of people who this was a legacy that we inherited. And certainly Dave's passion for it has perpetuated it. And so many people within First Pres have a passion for it, but Nancy and Bobby really created a legacy.
Wow. I haven't heard this story before. So yeah, y'all kind of, it was kind of a passing of the torch, I assume, it before Nancy passed. She probably left it to y'all or whoever to continue this ministry. And it continues on. I know it looks a little different now, but I hear the same thing with Mobile Food Pantry, that right now Gary Holland kind of took that from, is it Gene Craig?
Jim King.
And these things, these very successful ministries, I would say, didn't start because of one person, but because of a lot of people having a similar or the same goal, and being flexible with probably the outcome, right? Letting the Holy Spirit intercede. So, I mean, and both of you have become so involved in the mission committee of our church, not even just PADS, right? You are, and Kristen, you worked at the
Dave
church.
Is on the mission committee and has been for a long time. Yeah.
Okay. And then Kristen, you're part of CARE, I believe. Is that, or
yes,
we're
I
a
am.
Part of CARE.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk more about your own experience or your own bread at the church?
I'm super proud of what this church has done in the last 5 years in regards to the work of CARE. We went from being, I think the CARE work has a unique challenge, because so many times we as Christians, as Presbyterians, people in our church want to help. We want to do the mobile food pantry. We want to do PADS. We want to do that hands-on work. And the work of CARE is really not necessarily the hands-on work. It's the behind the scenes education. And that's a really a challenging distinction for us to all make in our own minds. And it's about education, not so much as action. And I've seen, you know, it's a struggle within for all of us on the CARE committee, because we want to take action, but it's really about educating ourselves and then having conversations. And, you know, for our church to go to make that evolution is significant. And then for our church to take really some public stands and say, we're behind this. We're anti-racism, diversity, equity, and inclusion is important. That is the work we want to get behind. And it was hard, because we all know there's people who left the church because of it. You know, they felt it was too political. But honestly, Jesus was a community organizer. He was not a sit on the sidelines guy. He was out there talking and having conversations. And that's what it's about. And I'm super proud of the evolution of this church in the last 5 years.
Wow. Yes. I think, Kristen, you bring up such a strong point about, one, the education part of anti-racism, and also the work of Jesus. And then two, the fact that, yes, Jesus Christ was, this was his life, was being a communion organizer, taking stances, and loving, teaching us how to love our neighbor as ourself in the process,
right?
And you can see, I don't know if you plan this, you two, but CARE and mission committee work so well together, because you need one to have the other, just as much as the other, right? It's like one is the heart and the mind, and the other is the hands and the feet. So with that, I'm wondering, have y'all seen any improvement on either sides because of the, I guess I'm assuming CARE came after mission committee. CARE was probably a newer thing.
So CARE is really just in the last 5 years.
Okay. So have you seen a difference in the church, or in the work that we have done as a congregation since we've had care.
Yeah. Because the work of mission is about going out and, like you said, the hands, the doing the work, the setting up pads and providing shelter to people who need it and food and the hard work, collecting meal a month, all that stuff. Care is about the education. Care is about having conversations with people, learning about other, you know, the I can't think of the name of the, but the care committee putting on things about Indigenous people and Asian people and evolving beyond, you know, anti-racism isn't just about Black people. It's about every group. You know, educating people and the attendance at those Sunday evening events, we've seen a steady growth. Each time we've had it, there's been more people there. And that is because people are, there's been such a wonderful evolution within the church of people wanting to educate. Like, we all didn't know what we didn't know. We, you know, we've gone through our lives, many of us, like me, raised in a Presbyterian church, and we're, you know, we understand being good people and what it's not, but it's really about more than being good people. It's about being an advocate for those who can't, who have been persecuted. And there's just millions of people who have been persecuted and continue to be. And being an ad, learning the difference between sitting back and doing the work and actually getting out there and having conversations with people about why it's more than this work, why we need to get involved in our local government and why we need to be involved in our local community and advocating for things and making sure that our community is a welcoming community and all showing up at village board meetings to support an affordable housing ordinance. All that stuff is the work of the church. And that's an evolution. That's, you know, some of the folks who left the church because they felt it was too political, church shouldn't be political. Well, if you can't sit in church on Sunday and be challenged in your thought process, then what's the point of being there? There's no education then.
Kristen, thank you for, I love the word that you used, challenged, because I think that we're all called to be challenged in our faith. And that's why we go to church, to be challenged. We don't go to church to be comfortable, but we do hope that everybody in the church feels safe. Safe to be challenged and to take on the challenges, right? Not only in our personal lives, but in this work of anti-racism, in this work of pursuing social justice. So, Kristen, you brought so many great, great points, and I hope those who are listening are encouraged to come to the Love Every Neighbor dinners, encouraged to come to the CARE events, such as the past Martin Luther King social hour, junior social hour, because those moments, they do help shape our faith and help shape us as a church. And I have seen that firsthand attending them, and then being able to carry those conversations, say on a Saturday morning during mobile food pantry as we're packing things. So it's those, I love that these two things can help each other grow. And I talk about mission committee and CARE. I know that PADS is currently shifting to a different model. Is that correct? Do we want to talk more about how we can still be involved with this new season of PADS? I don't know what to call it, but how can our congregation be more involved or get involved?
Sure, great question. It certainly has changed a lot in the time from what we started to becoming a site that we actually housed our clients, and now we're much more of a food pantry. We kind of are supporting the clients. They're now all based in hotels. They've got almost 450 clients this year, which is probably 150 more than they've ever had before. They've got 5 different hotels that they manage all the clients through, and almost half of that population are children. And they're working very hard for finding a permanent shelter site that's going to allow them to house their clients under one roof, with their support staff being there on site to manage their needs and help them with any of the counseling they may need. So that's they're a lot closer to that than they were. But in the interim, our role that we play is we're basically a food collection site. So every Wednesday afternoon from 4 to 6, we receive in food that is needed. And it's a quite ironic, our closet down in the basement of Fellowship Hall that used to be full of bedding and pads and sheets is now actually completely full of food. So we're at a point now where we're providing them not just sustenance a week at a time, but we actually have a full pantry that if they get, you know, they run into a bind and my deliveries on a Wednesday night are not enough, we actually have food that we can provide them on an immediate need for a time where they may not have got enough of the resources to help them keep their client base fed. So it's really, you know, nothing like what we did, but at the end of the day, it's really all the same. It's, you know, we're providing the support the pet needs to feed 430 people in the shelter system every night. And our congregation and the local church community around Lake County just continues to amaze me with their generosity to, you know, allow this ministry to, you know, to flourish.
I think a wonderful and vital point I got from talking to Kristen and Dave is the topic of growth. In both testimonies, one might notice the ways both the mission committee and care committee have pushed us as a church in some way to grow or expand. Things have changed over the years, but this change, I believe, has not been all bad. Instead, I think it's been good. It's proof that the Holy Spirit continues to move in our own personal lives and in the church. In the moment for ministry this past Sunday, you might have picked up a bread recipe with a recipe of what makes a Sunday here at First Pres. I hope we can take time this week to slow down and think through all of the ingredients that have helped your own faith grow and what steps it took to get there. What are the ingredients you had to take out? Or maybe ingredients you needed to add? Whatever those all might be, I think one thing is necessary for all of us in our own growth, and that is hope, even if it is just a sprinkle in this time of the wilderness.
All right, just to wrap it up, thank you, you two. We're almost there. As I've said before, and we started, we're in the middle of Lent. A time for the wilderness, as Pastor Amy Heinrich mentioned on Ash Wednesday. So I'm asking you two, what are you hopeful for? What are you hoping for by the end of this season? What is bringing you hope? Maybe that's another good question.
Well, I guess I'll start. I think mine's the same message. It's just the fact that the community that I see continues to allow us to do the things that we can do to help. It may only be a small thing, but I still see a lot of community, which just gives me hope that there is, you know, enough good out there that we can overcome some of the other things that might not be going ideally. So I just have hope from the community that I see through our church and the church partners we have in Lake County.
Awesome. Kristen, do you want to?
I hope Dave's right. I hope he's right. We're obviously very, you know, he's very optimistic, and that's what I love about him. So I hope he's right.
I hope Dave is right too. I hope for our community to allow ministries like the Mission Committee and the Care Committee to do the things that are needed for bread to be provided physically and spiritually. May we all continue to reflect on how God is calling us to be the daily bread for others as we receive our daily bread this season. Thank you for listening to the Bread for the Journey podcast series. We'll be back soon.